Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. True December weather. Cold, cloudy, us spoiled people of Los Angeles and Southern California. But you got to admit, when it's cloudy every day, it affects some of us. Today's show, strokes, how to prevent the first one and the one that follows. Important topic. Stroke is the third to fifth leading cause, depending on what you read. Third to the fifth leading cause of death in the United States each year. I don't think we do a good job with strokes. Reason? Most people don't die of stroke the first time. They die the second or third time. And what happens between the first time and the second or third time is all often like next to nothing. Meaning you get the first one, and as some of you may know, then you're prescribed Coumadin, some sort of blood thinner, to such an extent that you bleed into your hands. You ever see sometimes some of the older people, the forearm will have these big purple blotches. Very often those people are on Coumadin, which some say is rat poison, really a derivative of warfarin, or Plavix, or any of these blood thinners that people are given when they have these strokes. Well, we'll say when they have the ischemic strokes, the embolic strokes, the clot strokes. But then they have another stroke anyway. That's why stroke is the third or fifth leading cause of death in the United States, because the therapy doesn't work. It may work on paper, it doesn't really work in reality. And I think most people that are prone to strokes or have a stroke and don't want to have a second stroke, they're not given the full perspective, thus the show today. So I think we can get a lot to you over the next 60 minutes. Let's go. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, if you can, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. Lots of great pictures here that make it easier for you to understand this somewhat more comprehensive, some say complicated show on radio. I'm looking for you to get used to the fact that to really get the return on holistic medicine, on holistic health, you got to dig a little deeper, which means you got to get a little more educated than simply tuning in and asking your healthcare provider, what supplement do I take for my problem? That's okay, but I think you got to go deeper. So let's go deeper. Again, get on the website if you can, straighttalk.cc. For those of you driving, I will certainly take the time as best I can to describe what I'm talking about as you drive, etc. Okay, first of all, two types of strokes, ischemic and hemorrhagic. We're not going to deal with hemorrhagic today. In the worst scenario, your blood pressure goes up to 280 over 160 and you burst a blood vessel. That's a hemorrhagic stroke, when the artery to the brain bursts. That's kind of like an aneurysm, except an aneurysm is already a bubbled out artery. The aneurysm is already like a big balloon about to burst, and then it does burst, and often you can see an aneurysm long before it bursts. But a hemorrhagic stroke, well, on a relatively normal artery, feeding the brain, again, strokes refer to blood flow to the brain. If you have a burst artery to your foot, we don't call it a stroke. You have a hemorrhagic incident, but it's to your foot, and that's bad enough. But if it's to your brain, that's the stroke. This is a hemorrhagic stroke. We're not talking about hemorrhagic strokes today. And the hemorrhagic stroke is the minority of strokes. Most of your strokes are called ischemic. I like to call them embolic. I like that word. That word is in the literature, commonly used. Ischemic means embolic, a clot. You developed a clot. Now, that clot can develop anywhere in your body. It can start in your heart. But for you to have an embolic stroke, oh, Mr. Smith down the street, he was a little older. He was in his 80s. He passed last week. He had a blood clot to the brain. That's an embolic stroke. Most of your strokes are embolic. And that gives us lots and lots and lots of things to do about it. No one should have an embolic stroke. I'm exaggerating. But we could reduce the incidence of embolic strokes so many times. We really, really, really could. This is the cardiovascular department. Whether it's the heart or the stroke, these are things, if the American public acted and they got the information, especially after the first stroke, you got to understand the focus here. Yes, we all push our limits. We work too much. We worry too much. We eat too much. We do all these things that are wrong. We're enslaved to the desk and we can't find an hour and a half a day to work out, to exercise. This is the American syndrome right now. Okay, fine. But if you've had a stroke, you've already got a serious wake-up call. And you don't want to have a second stroke. There are so many things you can do to prevent that that you're not being told. So when we talk about an embolic stroke, a clot stroke, the issue basically comes down to how not to form a second clot. Now, you are given Coumadin and Plavix, and they're coming up with some new ones now. And you're being told, well, that's what you do, and don't worry about it. If that were true, stroke would not be the fifth leading cause of death in the United States. I want you to think about that. If you're out there and you've had a stroke, you're being told that, well, you're being managed. You're doing what you're supposed to do so you don't have another one. And yet, strokes are the fifth leading cause of death in the United States. That tells you something. What it tells you is those drugs don't work. They help, but they don't work completely. They help, but they don't protect you from the stroke. Which tells us, now you got to think about this. You got to get the game here. Which tells us when pharmaceutical medicine doesn't have a solution, when allopathic medicine doesn't have a solution, you don't hear about the flaws in the way your case is being managed. And in a way, that's understandable. In a way, that is understandable. Because the way a doctor will look at it is, let's do for you what the standard of care implies. You had a stroke, an embolic stroke. You're going to get the drugs that the standard of care says you're supposed to get with some basic counsel on lifestyle, a little nutrition, and that's what a good doctor does. And it's understandable that they stick to that. But what do you do when there's so many other things to understand? And of course there are, because if they had it covered, stroke wouldn't be the fifth leading cause of death. The vast majority of people don't die from the first stroke. They die at the end chain of a series of strokes. So, not even overstated, even though I repeated myself, strokes are not managed well. When you've had the first one, you are not being well managed along the lines. Now, let's get more technical. The platelet. The platelet is part of what composes the blood. And when platelets clump together through a very long-winded, complicated clotting mechanism, you get a clot. And here's to the clot. Cheers to the clot. You cut your finger, you better clot. The clotting mechanism is a critical mechanism. That is a life-giving, life-sustaining, life-saving mechanism. But when you're prone to embolic strokes, and you've already had one, say, or you want to prevent one, well, we've got to do something about the clotting mechanism, because, of course, the concept is if you're going to have another embolic stroke, another stroke from a blood clot, it makes good sense to give you something to break up the platelets, to make sure that the platelets that are part of the clotting mechanism don't clump together to give you that stroke. That makes sense. Good. So we give it to you. It's not so much a problem with that. The problem is there are many other reasons why you get a clotted stroke. Clots form for reasons aside from platelets. The clotting mechanism of the platelet is only part of why you clot. And that other part of why you clot, those other parts of why you clot are not addressed. This is so big. If you can follow me. Can you follow me on this? I don't think this is so complicated. Again, strokes are not well managed because most people die from the second, third, and fourth stroke. They're already on the blood thinner. So if we had the management of stroke down, if we really knew how to prevent them or even reduce them, why would they be so high on the list? Well, obviously we don't. And it's not to say that interfering with the clotting mechanism by deactivating the clotting mechanism by platelet adhesion, which is Coumadin, Plavix, etc., it's not to say that that's bad. I'm not saying go off those drugs at all. What I'm saying is that there are other mechanisms, there are other things, issues that create that clot. If you got that, you're following. Good. It's big. Why? The word is, and some of you have heard it before, blood viscosity. The thickness of the blood, blood viscosity. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, turn to picture number 10. There it is, Meridian Valley Lab. They may not even be around anymore. I think they are. Point is, they were part of a consortium of medical doctors trying to put together some of the more high-end assessment protocols for people that would be headed towards heart attacks, clot strokes, ischemic strokes, etc. And so they started pumping around, running around the complete blood viscosity test. Yeah, the thickness of your blood. Now, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, other medicines are always interested in the thickness of the blood. The thickness of the blood or the viscosity of the blood is an issue responsible for your health. Thickness of blood controls many things. You have low back pain. You have arthritis. You have any health concern. The thickness or viscosity of your blood is as important to your health as, well, how you know pH is important to your health, or oxygenation of the tissues is important to your health, or having a good inner spiritual life is important to your health. Up there with all of those things I just mentioned is viscosity of the blood. So this company, in a very common sense way, is pointing out that if you're going to really manage your cardiovascular concerns, you're going to get a good sense of what the thickness of your blood is. Now, this wasn't new, and that was my point a moment ago. Other medicines have been on this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. And so when we talk about stroke, the stroke you don't want to get, but the stroke you may have had and you don't want the second or third one, the transient ischemic attack, that's a mini stroke that you have and then you get over it and you don't want the big one, you're really talking about blood viscosity. So this company, this lab, this team of doctors started pumping this complete blood viscosity test. And if you're looking at that picture on picture 11, in the ad it says, is your heart pumping sludge? The thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker your blood gets, the more and more and more and more likely you are.